What comes to mind when I say the word Pentecostal? Fiery? Holy rollers, the Holy Spirit. Others? Speaking in tongues. Spirituals. Snake handling. Fire. Swirling colors. When I think of the word Pentecostal, many images come to mind for me. And one of them is of a one-eyed holiness preacher named William Seymour. William Seymour was a minister in Texas at the beginning of the 20th century, who had heard about this new doctrine of baptism by the Spirit, and that the way you would know that you would have biblical evidence that someone had been baptized by the Spirit was that they would be speaking in tongues. He'd heard about this, and he went to study with another minister named Charles Parham in Houston, Texas. But as Jim Crow was in effect at the time, he couldn't study at the school, which was all white. He had to study on the veranda, on the porch outside by an open window. But he learned about this doctrine, and he felt that the Spirit was moving. And so he accepted a call to a small church in downtown Los Angeles. And it was there in April of 1906 that something remarkable by any standards happened. For on Sunday in April of 1906, William Seymour preached about this lesson, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And he prayed for the Spirit to fall afresh on the congregation. And those who were there that day say that people began speaking in languages that they did not know, in Hebrew. And that those who had no musical training or aptitude whatsoever, all of a sudden they could play the piano. After a few days of these all day, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night worship services, dozens of people who had heard started to show up. And then hundreds. And then over the course of the next few months, thousands of people showed up to 312 Azusa Street in Los Angeles to take part in these services. But what made these services even more radical was that this church was located near an African-American ghetto in Los Angeles, and that these services were multiracial at a time when no other worship services in the United States of America were integrated. African Americans, Latinos, Anglos worshiped side by side. Those who were there said that they felt like the blood of the Lamb had washed away the color line. And they saw a vision of heaven. Sadly, human frailty soon fractured that vision. Because a few months after this began, in October of 1906, Charles Parham, the teacher from Houston, heard what had been happening and came out to see what his former pupil was doing in Los Angeles. Parham himself was a Ku Klux Klan sympathizer. And when he saw these integrated multiracial worship services, he became furious. saying that to him they reminded him of, and I quote, those Southern darky camp meetings. And that vision was fractured. And in the short years that followed, Parham and others founded the all-white Assemblies of God Pentecostal denomination, and William Seymour and others founded the all-black Church of God in Christ Pentecostal denomination. But that vision that was seen in April of 1906 continues to animate followers of Christ to this day. In these past few weeks, I have been thinking about, praying about, conversing about, writing about vocation. Now, vocation is a word that has all too often been appropriated solely for a vocation to holy orders, as a priest, as a deacon, as a bishop, as a monk, or a nun. But the root of the word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. It is a calling to something. And as I was participating in the nodal events, the wedding of Sarah Crawford and Kieran King, the ordination of Lauren Lanosky, I was reminded of a simple and powerful understanding of vocation. Gail Godwin, in her book Evensong, writes that vocation is something that always makes more of us. Vocation is something that always makes more of us. And as I spent time with Sarah and Kieran and their families and their friends, it was absolutely clear that their vocation to one another, their union, is making more of them in this world, that by its very nature, the relationship that they share is extending God's grace. And in participating in Lauren's ordination, it became clear that her Spirit-led calling is to teach and to learn with children because it makes more of her and of them. And then last night, I went to the 125th anniversary of the founding of all of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Walnut Creek. 125 years. This was the parish where I served as a priest before I was called here to All Souls Parish nearly 4 years ago. And it was the first time that I returned. And so after the service in the reception, I had a number of people come up to me, concerned. How are things in Berkeley? You know, it's so far away. And I tell you, friends, I was overwhelmed with the sense of calling. That I am in the time and in the place where God has called me to be, here and now. Because praying and studying, being at the bedside, teaching, worshiping here makes more of me. By being in this space, I can see and I can dream. And it was when I was passing the baptismal font at St. Paul's, where our boys were baptized, that I became aware of two other fundamental vocations in my life. Being married to Sarah Onito and being a father to Benjamin and Jonah Brochard. In these relationships, more is made of us. Each of us are called. This week, I am asking that we ask this question. What in your life makes more of you? What in our lives makes more of us? I want you to ask this question of friends, of family. If I see you this week at a meeting or in the neighborhood, I will ask you this question. Please ask me this question. And especially, ask this question of friends or of family who are not participating here. For the Spirit is on the loose, known and unknown. What in your life makes more of you? The same is true in families, in communities, in congregations. At the very same time that the Spirit was leading William Seymour on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, hundreds of miles to the north, in April of 1906, the Spirit was leading St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Berkeley to start a new community here on the north side, in the wilds of North Berkeley. And so in April of 1906, All Souls Chapel was formed, and it began with Sunday school for the parents of children who found it a challenge to go all the way over to Bancroft. And that's how it began. And in 1923, this same Spirit led this congregation to begin a capital campaign to build a parish hall so that together they could enjoy fellowship and knit the body closer. But in September of 1923, disaster struck. Sparked by a fire in Wildcat Canyon, the great fire of Berkeley of 1923 swept down these hillsides, destroying over 600 structures in the space of a half day. All three sides of All Souls Parish, these homes were burned to the ground. Only their chimneys remained standing. In the days and weeks that followed, All Souls Church was a nexus for the community, for those who were seeking to find loved ones, for those who needed food, clothing, shelter. And immediately, the vestry and the clergy of All Souls decided to return all the pledges that people had offered for the building of the parish hall so that these congregants could rebuild their homes. And within 1 year, all of those pledges returned to All Souls Parish. And in 1924, our elegant parish hall was built. In 1969, this same Spirit led All Souls Parish to call the Reverend Henri Steins as rector. Father Steins was the first African-American rector in a predominantly Anglo congregation in this diocese's history. At the time, the free speech movement, the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War was still ringing in the air. It was a turbulent time for this congregation. And Father Steins absorbed a tremendous amount personally of the pain and frustration that existed. You see, friends, there's a reason why the Celtic Christians call the Holy Spirit the wild goose. Because the Holy Spirit is often disruptive and destabilizing, even as she grants courage and hope and intercedes with sighs too deep for words. In the 1970s and the 1980s, this congregation flourished. And at that time, this same Spirit drove the congregation to care for the sick and the dying. And under the leadership of the Reverend William Power Clancy, Jr., this parish established the first hospice chaplaincy at Alta Bates Hospital in Berkeley. Members and other clergy of All Souls wanted to ensure that those who were facing the end of life might have the opportunity for a holy death. And at the end of the 1990s and into the first decade of this century, this same Spirit led All Souls to reimagine what it meant to have membership in this community. Now, it may not be altogether believable, but I have been told that colloquially in this area, especially in the seminaries, All Souls was known as All Ghouls Berkeley for the aged membership of this congregation. And the congregation revisioned that children and youth would be central to the life of this parish. Several years later, children and youth stream into this church every Sunday, revitalizing us. At the same time, this same Spirit led us to become a haven for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people, as we became an oasis congregation, declaring that indeed, all souls are mine, says the Lord, and all are welcome here. Now I realize that visioning does not always come with clasped hands and kumbaya. In fact, one of the last visions here at All Souls was difficult. And as part of this visioning process, some felt that their words were not heard, that their priorities were not valued. Others felt as if actions that had been taken destroyed their sense of trust in another. And for all, common life was impaired. Friends, we are in a different space now. And I ask that as we go through this visioning process of the next several months, that you take part. And I will assure you that the steering group that is designing this and the vestry will listen to every voice, and that we will engage in this process heart to heart, together holding the common ground. I trust in this essential question: what in your life is making more of you? What in our lives at All Souls Parish is making more of us? What in the wilds of North Berkeley is making more of us? Because as we come aware of this, we will see visions. We will dream dreams. And the Holy Spirit may come like a hurricane, may come speaking in ancient languages, may be heard as a still small voice. But she will be speaking. It is for us to listen.